joy. Amen?
I invite you to stand up and share that joy with somebody around you. Shake hands, encourage somebody. Okay, did I tell you to be seated? No, I'm just kidding. You know, the longer I stand down there, the less I have to preach, so. Well, isn't that true? By greeting, and it's good. It's great. Let's go to prayer, shall we? Father God, it's so great to come into your presence. That's the joy that we cleave to, that we so desire, is the joy of knowing you and knowing that you're here, and we know your presence is very real, Lord. And also, Lord, to receive joy from one another, as we've already done. We've shaked hands, and some of us have hugged, and Lord, we've greeted one another, and we're so thankful that we can do that as we approach this new year. And Lord, as we approach this new year, it's for some, I'm sure, with excitement, with joy, others with wonder, and others with apprehension. But Father, we approach this new year under your banner, because it's only because of you that we are present here. And so we come this morning just surrendering today to you and tomorrow to you. Father, it's all about you. We think, Lord, of Danielle, who is going to the mission field, and Lord, with, I'm sure, some kind of wonderment, and yet with trepidation. I'm sure she is wondering what you have in store, Lord, for her, and also, Lord, wondering what you have in store for the people there, your people. And so, Father, we pray for her, we pray protection on her, and we pray, Father, that you would give to her wisdom, and also, Lord, that you would strengthen the workers as they prepare to go, and even as they're there, that, Lord, you to be their focus and their protection. Father, we pray for her support, and, Lord, we pray that you would give to her a time which is challenging, but also, Lord, that's rewarding. Lord, we think of those health needs as a family, a church family. We think of Rose and Linda and George and Inga and Ken and Sam and Lori, and, Lord, we also think of Catherine this morning, too, and we pray, Father, for them. We lift them to you and pray, Lord, that your will be done in their life. And, Father, we pray that you'd provide healing in whatever form that is, so that they would be encouraged in some way today. Father, we pray that you'd be with each family member who is surrounding their loved one who is not feeling just 100%. Father, give to them the assurance that underneath them is your everlasting arms. And Lord, we think of those who cannot be here, who would love to be here. And that is Mary Hafner, Annette Kreider, Mary Warkentine, and Sophie Zielinski. And Lord, we pray for Vince and Herman and Peter as well. We lift them all to you, and Lord, we know that you know better their circumstances, and you know better what they need. So we pray that they would be encouraged today, some way, throughout this week, as they travel into a new year. Lord, we think of those who are grieving, the Stroman family, the Daschuk family. Lord, we pray for them that you would be very close, very real, a sense of comfort and strength during a difficult time. Father, it's so good to come into your house, to pray for one another, to extol praise to you, to be filled with your joy. And so we pray for your protection upon us, Lord, as now we dig into your word, and as we serve you through your word, we pray in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. How many of you are excited to be in the house of God, December 31st? Good, you all put your hand up. That's really exciting. The hands are functioning. That's good. I came across some attainable New Year's resolutions. These are attainable, so you may want to take notes. Lots of them. Attainable New Year's resolution number one, gain weight. I'm going for at least 30 pounds. Attainable New Year's resolution, stop exercising. As if I did it anyway. So it's attainable. Read less, it makes you think. Watch more TV. I haven't been missing anything, but we'll look and see. Procrastinate more starting tomorrow. Did you get? I thought that was a good one. It came to me at 3 a.m. That was really good. Attainable, get in a whole new rut. Create loose ends. Get further in debt. Here's a good, not drive a motorized vehicle across thin ice. I'm not going to do that. Wait around for an opportunity. You can love this. Focus on the faults of others. That's attainable. Mope about my faults. I do that well. Attainable New Year's resolution. Final one, never make New Year's resolutions again. Attainable. I don't know what you're looking to attain this new year. But so often we need to look forward to a new year because it's a year of a new beginning. How many here are just excited that we're approaching a new year? Yeah. You're glad the old one's behind? You don't know how to answer because you wonder, what's he going to preach about? Because if I put my hand up, then, you know. Today, you're going to discover how to really be a success in this coming year, truly. Today's teaching will enliven, it will invigorate you as you look to this new year. And I believe that we all need and we all deserve a successful start to a new year. Amen to that? Well, today, as we discover, there's two strong elements of success embracing the year 2007. Our backdrop for this morning is the familiar passage, Philippians chapter 3, verses 12 to 14. Philippians chapter 3. And I want you to turn along with me as I try to focus in with my progressive lenses on God's Word. Philippians chapter 3, beginning at verse 12. I love what the Apostle Paul says. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already been made perfect, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining toward what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. May God add his blessing to his word this morning. Amen. Well, how can we successfully start a new year? You successfully start a new year by pressing on. Press on. See, the Apostle Paul said it. He said, not that I've already obtained all this or I've already been made perfect, but I press on. Boy, it's easy to find points when he writes like that, isn't it? All of us are at some particular place in our walk with God right now. Everybody in this room, in this sanctuary, has something that God is dealing with you about. It may be a relationship. It may be an attitude. It may be something that still that you're hanging on to from the past. It may be a feeling that you want to give up or quit. Maybe you've gone through a long time of trials and tribulations. And you just feel like you can't do it anymore. You're fighting the good fight of faith, but you feel, oh, I just can't do it. And yet every one of us is at a place, including myself, where we just have to press. To press means to exert steady force or pressure against something. So I term it like this. You have to press against the pressure that is trying to press you. Try and say that 8 times fast. Believe me, I tried it. You have to press against the pressure that's trying to press you. Something is pressing against us, and we have to be determined to press against it harder than it's pressing against us. Now I've completely lost you. You see, almost nothing worthwhile in our life happens without pressing. Now I look at some of you, and I can tell that you're so enthusiastic about this whole element of pressing on. You can hardly wait to keep on pressing. You're like this. Yeah, most of us aren't all that excited about pressing. I think you'd rather I preach on money, wouldn't you? Or miraculous breakthroughs, for sure. I'd have smiles. You'd all be excited, more so than pressing. But now that I've listened to God, and I'm going to bring you the real message, some of you aren't even going to smile at me today. It doesn't matter, because I'm going to press on. Through the looks on your faces, I'm going to preach anyway. So I found a long time ago, you can't always tell people what they want to hear. You've got to tell them what they need to hear. They might not love you that day, but they'll love you later when they get the victory in their life. Amen? Good, you're all going to love me later. That's good. If you're not willing to press, you'll never have victory in your life. It'll never happen. And pressing in and pressing through, it's not something that someone else can do for you. You have to do your own pressing. And that's why it's so difficult to press on, because we usually rely so much on other people to help us through life, but we can't get anyone to press on for us. I believe that pressing on gives us the victory to enjoy life. Pressing on makes us into who God wants us to be. We don't like it necessarily. It isn't something that we enjoy, but we walk out of the press and we know a new vitality, a new vision, change has happened in us. Let me ask you a question. It's a tough one. You ready? You think the devil wants you to know God better? You think he wants you to accept Christ in your life? Do you think that the devil wants you to have a new lease on life, to enjoy what God is doing in your life? Of course he doesn't. Yet most of us don't know how to press through that pressure. I don't care if I say it 5,000 times. You've got to press through the pressure that's coming against you. Now, wishing just doesn't do it. I mean, I know from experience. Wishing doesn't get you a better life. I mean, wishing never has done it. It never will do it. Well, I wish I was out of debt. You know what will get you out of debt? When you go to the mall and you're tempted to charge 3 more things that you can't afford and don't really need, and all of your emotions are kind of going haywire because you're, I need 3 more things. And you're going to have to press past that feeling and do what you know is right. And you're going to have to suffer for a while, go without some things, in order to bring balance back into your life. Because of all the things you bought when you couldn't afford it, you've thrown everything out of balance, and now you're going to have to do without some things to get back into balance. And if you do it long enough, here's the amazing thing, you'll get out of debt. Then you'll be rid of that hole that's paralyzing you from enjoying your life. But if you're not willing to suffer, not a popular word. Not willing to suffer. We don't like that word, but it's a biblical word, believe it or not. If you're not willing to suffer, you will suffer anyway. See, I told you, you're just going to love what I'm telling you today. You can either suffer the pain of change, or you can suffer remaining the way you are. You can either suffer the pain of change, which on the other side of that is be free, or you can think that you're avoiding suffering because you just stay the way you are and you never change. I finally found out, just do it and get it over with. You know why? Because God is not going to change his mind. I mean, I can go through the same routine over and over. I can walk around that mountain, and I can walk around that mountain, and God is standing over there going, I haven't changed my mind. And I keep going around the mountain. He comes back. I come walking around. He goes, I haven't changed my mind. And yet, we just, somehow, we think that God is going to change his mind eventually. And it's going to be easier for us. The next time around, it's just going to be easier when I come around that mountain. God's going to say, all right, I'll change it now. No, he never did that with Jonah. He didn't do it with Moses. Everybody tried to get out of everything that God was trying to do. Sometimes we act like we just can't hear from God, yet sometimes we know full well what God is saying, we just don't want to do it. It's called selective hearing. We all have it, especially if you're married. My dad says the greatest invention was the hearing aid. You put it in and turn it off. Greatest invention. It's like these guys. Look at them. I'm sorry, were you talking to me? You know? Two in a room on an island. I'm sorry, were you talking to me? We do that with God. So, oh, I'm sorry, God, were you talking to me? We talk to him. We say, God, give me the plan. I want the plan that I want to enjoy life. I want to start enjoying it. And God says, all right, well, here you go. You're going to start being pressed. And then we say, wait a minute. No. That's not what I had in mind. See, we want to hear from God when he has some big thing that he wants to give us, but we don't want to hear from him when he wants us to do something that we don't want to do. But we got to press on. Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14, you don't have to turn there. It says, enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many enter through it. But small is the gate and narrow the road that leads to life, and only a few find it. It tells us there's a broad path and there's a narrow path. And the broad path is easy. It's easy to stay on the broad path. You know why? There's no pressure there. But it says that the narrow path, and the Amplified Bible actually says, the narrow path is made narrow because it's contracted by pressure. So to be on that narrow path, we have to be willing to press through the pressure. Most of us look for the easy way. And we sing this one song to God. This is too hard. This is too hard. Oh Lord, I can't. It's just too hard. You need to sing a new song unto the Lord. Amen? It's time for a new song to be sung. And I know this from experience. Lord, I can't do this. It's just too hard. It's so hard to be a pastor and a father and a husband. And why is everybody always picking on me? God didn't say, okay, I'm going to rewrite the book for you, Dev. You don't have to be a pastor anymore. I'll just hand you money and you'll be okay. You don't have to worry about lives that are lost. I'll just look after it some other way. You don't have to worry about not using your gift and enjoying life, Dev. It's okay. You can be sad and moan. I wore myself out many times. Many, many times fighting God. That's all you get if you fight God. You get worn out. I think it's time we stop feeling sorry for ourselves. Because anyone who has victory has got to press. I'm not the only one. You're not the only one. Everybody has to do it. Nobody can do your pressing for you. You can't get out of it. Now, you have others who pray for you to give you added strength to walk through it. That's why we're called to pray for one another and build one another up. That refreshes us. That encourages us as we press on a little more. But every one of us has a responsibility, a personal responsibility, to do our own pressing. I don't know where you're at today. I don't know where you're at in your heart. I don't know where you're at with God spiritually or even in your thinking. Maybe you were in a situation where you just felt like, I'm just going to give up. I'm going to quit. I can't do this. I can't go on. And maybe you felt like that even in with churches are great with this because I don't like this. I'm giving up. I'm moving on. Something better. My prayer for you today is that as a result of today, you will make a firm decision that you will press on and that you will have the victory that God wants you to have in life. One thing I can tell you, God's word says, if you are determined, if you are faithful, you are steadfast and you're determined, then the devil absolutely cannot defeat you and you will have the victory in your life. That's a promise. So how to successfully start a new year? You got to press on. But you also got to live today. Live today. Look, verse 13. Brothers, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what's behind, straining toward what's ahead, I press on, there it is again, toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. Oh, amen. What great verses. Ooh, we're excited till it happens. Because most of us have a hard time truly living today. Carpe diem, seize yesterday. That's not what it means. What does it mean? Seize what? Today. To live today means letting go of yesterday. You don't hold, I think I'll live over here. I'll hold on over here. You know what happens eventually? You keep living back here. You can't, you're going to choose. We can all say the word, doesn't bother me. Doesn't bother, very rare do we not relive a situation or event that caused us hurt or pain. We tend to hold on, we don't let go. I know, I'm no different than you are. I need to work at letting go so I can live today. I need to work at it so I can live and seize today. That's why we're all at a particular walk that God has us on right now today. We don't really want to live yesterday. But we really don't want anything new to invade our life because new is too unsure. Because we're more comfortable just holding on to what's familiar. You see, the past is like a magnet. And we're like, you know, chains drawn to it. We're trying to let go of the past, press into the future that God has for us, but it's just like the devil, he follows us around with giant, powerful magnets. You know, they keep trying to suck us back and what we're trying to get out of. And you know, we these chains envelop around us. And just picture me full of chains. You're all going, you know, over here. What would be the burden? But, you know, the chains are all around. And we keep, we're working ahead. We're pressing on. And we're getting the chains off. And it's coming. And I've almost got it. And then all of a sudden, the devil comes along and says, ooh, it's time for the magnet suit. Oh no, I'm back, I got the chains again. Anytime you start making that progress, the devil's going to come around and suck you back in or draw back those chains to just keep you the way you always were. Because the paralysis of the past prevents us from enjoying our right now, even though we might be in it. See, you can be here in this day, but still living in the past. You've heard it said, here today, gone tomorrow. Yet so often it should read, here today, living yesterday. Think of this. If we weren't living so much in yesterday, we could really start enjoying today. And the Apostle Paul knew that in order to enjoy the fullness of Christ, he needed to choose to forget and press on. He knew that in order to be successful in his life, he needed to choose to forget what was holding him back from really pressing on. And that success is available to every one of us in this room. everyone in the sanctuary can live with the same unexplainable, crazy joy that the Apostle Paul experienced and wrote about. Doesn't that sound good? I'm sorry, are you people here? Sorry to wake you. Does it sound good? It does. So often we're like the sign that was in a greenhouse that said, the best time to plant a tree was 25 years ago. The second best time is today. We don't take the todays very often, do we? But yesterdays, we'll take as many as we can. We all need to press into a new beginning. I don't know, maybe you need to start over on a diet and exercise routine, but this time succeed. Not run back to where you came from the first time you got hungry and sore. That's living yesterday. Maybe you need to press into some new things financially. We just say, finally, once and for all, make that decision that you just can't live by feelings anymore and never be financially stable. Maybe it's relationship issues. Maybe it's in your marriage. You're having a hard time. You see what our flesh does. I mean, the flesh begins to hurt. Now listen, it always looks for the nearest exit when the flesh hurts. I mean, think of it. If all of a sudden a fire would start in the sanctuary, I can tell you we wouldn't be calling a prayer meeting. We'd all be clamoring for the nearest exit, wouldn't we? That's exactly what the flesh does. As soon as we start to hurt, as soon as it gets hard, as soon as it's not comfortable, the flesh turns up and finds a way out. I've got to get out of this. And so many times, what we do is we run back to the thing that we're trying to get away from. You know, a drug addict or an alcoholic can certainly understand this principle. I mean, they can decide, that's it, I'm going to quit. I'm going to quit drinking. And that's fine 5 minutes after you've had to drink. That's why it's easy to go on a diet after dinner. Nobody has problems with that. That Christmas Day, here's my brother. He's like, oh, you know, two big plates, and he lays down on the floor and undoes his belt. Oh, tomorrow morning, he said, I'm going on a diet. You know, and we mean it. And we're good until around 1 or 2 o'clock, and then we get hungry. Did I say in the morning? We go back and we start again, and then we go back and we start again, and we go back and we start again, and we go back and we start again, and we keep doing this. And then we're not enjoying our life anymore because we're double-minded and we're not making any progress. And what's the problem? There's only one problem. And it's not, well, the devil won't leave me alone. It's that we're not willing to press on past the pain and live today. Many of you, you know about this. Many of you have pressed on past the pain. And you're starting to live and enjoy life. Then you got other people who wonder how you can do it. How come they're so excited? I thought they had an awful year. Why are they so happy? It's because they pressed on. You see, and the apostle says, straining toward what is ahead. Straining. What happens when you strain something? You get rid of what you don't want. You strain past it. You don't need the water. You get rid of the water. You strain your tea. Do that because you don't want tea leaves. Some of it comes through, but depends on if I make it or not. Coffee maker, use a filter, get rid of, strain the ground. Strain means to sift, to filter, to endeavor, to struggle, to make a great effort. How are you doing at making the effort? This past Thursday, I have time to tell you this, I wasn't sure. This past Thursday, real early in the morning, 3 a.m., God wanted to spend time with me. So up I get. You know, I know what it means in Scripture when it says real early in the morning. God put it, just there was a few thoughts that came that were just there, and it was through various elements, through the Christian channel and through a book I was reading and stuff. And you know the passage that talks about wine, new wine and old wineskins? Jesus says you can't put wine in old wineskins. You know the passage? He says you cannot put new wine into somebody who's not ready for it. New power. Somebody who's not prepared, or somebody who is still holding on to old things and old ways. And Jesus referred to these wineskins to teach us about change. He said in Luke 5:38, he said, new wine must be poured into new wineskins. It's a principle of life. New situations always require new structures, like a new job. You don't just walk in and say, oh, I'm going to just do what I did in my old job. Can you imagine if I was, in my previous job, I was a shoe salesman and I walked in and started selling you all shoes? You'd all go, boy, he's good at selling shoes. Maybe not, maybe you wouldn't. But the new relationship requires new ways of relating to those people or to that individual. But do we enjoy this aspect of new? Not typically do we. Not until you forget what's necessary to enjoy the new. Jesus continued in that passage by saying, and no one after drinking old wine wants the new, for he says the old is better. And we say, oh, wow, hey, then the old is better. No, he's talking about we're never prepared for the new because we always want yesterday. We never want today. What are your old wineskins? What are your old ways of thinking, your old habits? The beginning of a new year is a great time to just sit and re-examine your life. As we begin 2007, will you hold on to your past, your old things that you're familiar with, or will you abandon them for the change and the victory that Christ wants for your life today? See, here's what I realized. Wine is made by running grapes through a press. Okay, I got more out of that than you did. See, I mean, I was up at 3 a.m. and I went, wow! You know, the pressing of grapes makes wine. You're all going, we knew that, Dev. But you see, I'm a pastor. I didn't have a clue. But here's another thought. We press our collars to get the wrinkles out, don't we? Some of you don't, but, you know. And Jesus said he's coming back for his church without spot, blemish, or... Excuse me, I can't hear you. Wrinkle! Guess what we're going to have to do? Some pressing! I was really proud of myself when I heard that. Remembered it at 3 a.m. I thought, wow, Dev, you got a memory. Huh? The victory comes when you're pressed and you still live today. When you make up your mind, I'm not going to live like this anymore. See, that's when you successfully live into the new year. You see, and God is an equal opportunity employer, because everybody has equality if everybody's willing to play by the same rules. And we've got simply just to read the book and do what the book says. Amen? That's how you successfully press on, and that's how you successfully live today. Let's pray. You heard me say that victory comes when you make up your mind, I'm not going to live like this anymore. You may be here today and you need to make up your mind. And I don't mean just make it up and change it. I mean a quality decision, a mindset saying, I'm not going to live with the chains anymore. I'm not going to live in bondage. I'm not going to let my past control me. And in some way, somehow, by the help and mercy of God, ask Him for the determination that whatever the very best is that He can give to anybody, that you're going to have it. Because it's for you. While every head is bowed and every eye is closed, I'm going to ask you, if you're coming to Him today and you're crying out to Him that way, saying, Lord, I got to start changing. I can't live like this anymore. I'm making a quality decision to be determined to press on and live today, not yesterday anymore. While every head is bowed, every eye is closed, if you're saying that to the Lord this morning, just lift your hand. It'll underline what you're saying to Him. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Lord bless you, 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 Lord bless you. God sees all those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you, Lord bless you. God sees those hands. Lord bless you, Lord bless you. Father, we sit in the sanctuary today because of you. Lord, as difficult as it is sometimes, we have one foot in yesterday, and yet we so desperately want to live today. Lord, even as a church, we failed so much in the past, we can't keep our foot there anymore. With new vitality and new vision, we move forward in this next year. And we know, Lord, that you go before us and you prepare the way. And so, God, we proclaim right now that we serve you, our living God, and we live for today. And God, we just pray that as you use us in whatever way you can, that we would be obedient to you, that we would not waver, and that we would not, Lord, give in to the pressure. But we would press on as your people. Lord, help us. Help us to enjoy and rejoice. Help us to proclaim the victory that you've already won. Father, thank you that we can say Happy New Year. Only because of you can we look forward. And only because of you do we look forward to your glory and to your honor in all that we say and in all that we do. To the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, Amen.